and welcome to the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I am coming to you this afternoon, my time from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And joining me as always is Scott Gall from Berlin, Germany. Scotty, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. My little sidekick. How are things with you?
No, that's not the way you should frame this partnership at all, Scott. As a matter of fact, I would say that I'm the host of this and you're just along for the ride.
How are you?
As soon as you ask how I'm going, I'm actually sitting here, actually literally blinded by the sun at the moment. As you're aware, Scott, my fully stocked kitchenette apartment in the ivory tower that I live in faces due west. And it's that time of the day where the sun just comes absolutely blaring in and blinds me and shows up every little bit of lint and dust there is in the place, making me feel like I live in a pigsty and actually resulting in my self-worth being somewhat diminished. But apart from that, I'm good.
What are you drinking?
Blonde. What are you drinking?
Green herbal tea. It's a special cold variety you can get here.
Okay. Six. What percentage is that?
Six.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty.
What's up?
Scott, you know what?
What?
Well, we still only have the two miserly Patreon
subscribers. Stone the crows.
Yeah, stone the fucking crows.
Yeah.
So what I suggest, Scott, and you know, you and I have spoken about this off air.
We did.
Is that the next person that signs up to our Patreon account, patreon.com/simpletonpodcast, and donates some of their hard earned, will get a hand signed CD from both Scott and I of our greatest hits.
Yes.
Now the you like it, don't you, Scott?
I do. Look, I want to explain this to the simpletons. Once we get off two, the sky's the limit. We need to get off two. So if you're number three, this is what it's all about. This is what's waiting for you, Daniel.
It's like the millionth person that entered. That visited the Eiffel Tower and actually went up it.
Yep.
They got a lifetime pass to the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying they're getting a lifetime pass to the Simpleton Podcast, but what you would get is above and beyond what we usually bloody do. And so what will actually have to happen is I have to get the CD, you know, put the best bits on it, sign it, send it to Berlin, and then Scott will have to send it back, and then I'll have to send it out to whoever the lucky third person is, whoever the third man or woman is.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thanks for your enthusiasm, Scott.
What's
up? Scott, it's time for the World Report. What's on the agenda?
Yes. On the agenda today is Hermanus, South Africa. What do you know about it, Daniel?
I know it's in South Africa, which is at the southern end of the African continent.
On April 15th of this year, some 2 to 3 dozen anglers descended on Zuy de Cruis Dam to take part in the Hermanus Fly Fishing Annual Open Day. The event, which kicked off at 8 a.m., saw competitors lock horns on a catch-and-release basis for the better part of the morning and afternoon. Over to you, Daniel.
I don't actually have much to add to that at the moment, Scott. Just proceed.
The event was held within the context of the broader Overstrand Sports Festival of the Overstrand Municipality, April 21st, featuring competitions in cricket, netball, rugby, soccer and hurling, all at or near the Horston Sports Ground in Church Street. Over to you, Daniel.
I don't have much to add, Scott, but I will say this. I will make this point.
Mm.
This sounds like a sports report actually masquerading as a world report. Mm. And quite frankly, it's something that you've become known for.
It's a stunt which I've pulled before, isn't it?
Yeah, you've pulled this stunt before. Are you pulling it again, Scott?
Pulling it again.
You're pulling it now, aren't you?
The stunt. I'm pulling the stunt.
Yes, the stunt. Yes, of course. What do you think I'm talking about?
At the end of the morning's competition, Ian Haynes was declared the winner of the event, receiving a trophy at the Bray, which was held at the close of hostilities. It was a successful day of activities, and kudos must go to the Hermanus Fly Fishing Club for the smoothness with which the event was pulled off. Don't, Daniel. Don't.
I'm not.
And my word.
That says more about you than it does about me.
And my words, do they know how to throw a bray?
The pronunciation of the word, Scott, is bry,
mm-hmm.
which of course is some kind of barbecue and a custom for some people in that part of the world, particularly those of Afrikaans descent.
Mm.
And I actually don't see any connection between the Overstrand Sports Festival and the Hermanus Fly Fishing Annual Open Day. The connection is circumcisional at best.
Mm.
But look, Hames is always going to be the man to beat. He's got form and it's cool in a crisis. And you know what? Fishing also runs in his blood. And his beautiful wife, Cheryl, captain of the Women's National Fly Fishing Team as well.
The Proteas.
Yeah, not, you know, an unusual mascot for a fishing site, I would have thought.
Can you tell us a little bit about Cheryl?
6'3", 130 kilos, knows how to fish.
All right. So you do know a little bit about this topic. You were initially coy. So what else can you tell us about the competition?
Well, I'm not sure that the competition was as quite as fierce as you've been making out.
Have you
Scott.
Ever been to one of these events? And don't answer yet. Were you there when the Strathbogie Shire released approximately 200 fish, mainly comprised of European carp, Murray cod, and trout, into the Ural pool back in 93 or thereabouts, Daniel?
25 years ago, Scott. And I have to say that I don't know whether I'm proud to say or ashamed to say that I was actually there. For those who aren't familiar with Euroa public swimming pool, it's a 40-metre pool, just 10 metres short of an Olympic-sized pool, which was very poor foresight by our forefathers in Euroa. They could have just easily gone the extra 10 metres. But yeah, that faithful afternoon just before swimming season started involved about 200 fish, mainly carp, being thrown into the Euroa pool and a whole bunch of shit kickers with fishing rods sitting around trying to catch them.
Did you have a fishing rod?
No, I just went for the horrendous spectacle. There would have been about 200 people there, so there would have been a fish per person. but for some reason, those fish still weren't able to be caught. And it actually ended up with a net being thrown in, which was highly illegal. Actually, I think the whole thing was highly illegal.
Yeah.
I don't know who authorised it. And the fish being, you know, forced up the shallow end of the pool, caught in the net and presumably dumped somewhere. So, yeah, a great family day out.
This is interesting, Daniel. Now some questions on this particular theme. How many did Rory catch?
12.
Hayden?
He caught 4 carp.
Crasher?
Always a loser, Scott, caught nothing.
And if we might digress a little bit from what is already something of a digression, has the intense coldness of that pool ever been addressed?
Yeah. Shire engineer back in 1991 or 92, I think it was, Phil Squires,
yeah,
actually discovered that there's a natural spring that runs underneath the deep end of the pool,
mm-hmm.
Which made the pool, I think, at the height of summer, around about -5 degrees Celsius if you happen to jump in don't jump in that deep end. Depending on the day, if it was like a 40 to 45 degree day, it might go as high as -3 or -2, but very, very fucking cold. And anyone that has actually been fortunate enough to jump in that pool knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, yes. If I might now digress from what was a digression from what was already a digression, a particular property in Albion West comes to mind that had its own microclimate. Do you know what I'm talking about, Daniel?
Yeah, on a hot day, it's 10 degrees hotter than anywhere else. And on a cold day, it's 10 degrees colder than anywhere else.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Look, but we're digressing, and we're digressing off a digression. Let's get back to the event at Hermanus.
Yes.
Yes, while competition was intense, there was also an air of joviality about the place, Scott.
Mm-hmm, well said.
And there was a good... Thank you. Mm-hmm. And there was a good turnout of women and children and lots of mutual encouragement as the people pursued their hobby. Trout were caught and released during the morning, and lots of mutual encouragement was heard. What a fantastic day out, Scott.
A hobby. Calling fishing a hobby is like calling brain surgery a job. Paul Schullery.
You want to get sanctimonious now, do you, Scott?
Well, bring it on.
A trout is a moment of beauty known only to those who seek it. Arnold Gingrich.
Touché, Daniel.
And you know what, Scott? Coos Brandt once said, and I quote, and this has been lovingly copied and pasted into this running sheet, "My biggest worry is that when I'm dead and gone, my wife will sell my fishing gear for what I said I paid for it." But now, to bring this baby back to wrap it up, Scott, what do you got?
The man who said money can't buy you happiness never bought himself a fly rod, Daniel. These were the words of Reg Baird, and this was the spirit within which the open day was held, I might add.
Well, I'll tell you what, on that much, I agree.
Very good. And when all was said and done, there was a lot of banter to be heard at the after-event braai, as you see it's pronounced, as bragging rights were exchanged, as well as lamentations over the proverbial one that got away. Daniel, a good day all around. But before we...
That was a really excellent sports report, Scott. Congratulations.
It was a world report, Daniel. But before we move on, can you inform listeners about perhaps one or two, maybe one of the hot fishing spots around Euroa?
Yeah, there's a channel just out where the Seven Creeks starts to hit the flats heading towards its ultimate destination, the Goulburn River near Shepparton, where it actually goes underneath a channel. And if you chuck a line in there, Scott, it's actually just an absolute bottleneck for all the rainbow trout, the brown trout, and the carp that have to go through there if they want to continue their journey downriver to the Goulburn. So chuck a line in there. I have it on very good authority that that's the place to fish, Scotty.
Very good. And, of course, this is for the information of the listeners, Daniel. You said as they go downstream, which they usually do, but, of course, every year they decide to go the other way. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, so every June, the European carp actually turns around and heads upstream to spawn at Gruen Falls, Scott. And every time that they go upstream, Scott, they have to deal with predators like the southern grey hairy-nosed grizzly bear, Scott, who just loves a feed of European carp.
Wow. Well, Daniel.
Putting a line underneath that one, Scott, we're moving to another proud sponsor in what is yet another fuck you to the Simpleton podcast editorial team.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I have to say anything other than just to roll the ad.
There's movement in the country, for the word is going round. The professionals are coming into town for the Henty Machinery Field Days. And they're coming in from miles around. Bringing tractors and trailers and seeders and balers and trucks and four-wheel drives and plows. Bringing headers and scrapers and big cultivators with experts who can show a man how. And 50,000 people will all be coming too, seeing things for better or for worse. As everybody knows, when a farmer's going places, he goes to Henty Field Days first. Coming to the Henty Field Days, a lot of good people there. See you at the Henty Field Days.
Henty Field Days, three big days in your ag future, September 20, 21, 22.
So what do you think, Scott?
This is, I feel like I'm caught in the middle a little bit, Daniel. This battle between you and the Simpleton podcast editorial team, it's hot, Daniel, and you're really taking it up.
It's not a competition, Scott. It's not a competition. I'm just getting the job done. And yeah, I was very pleased to travel up to Henty earlier this week.
Yeah,
where I spoke to a man who can show a man how, and just bring this baby home. And let me tell you, Scott, there's a lot more of these where that one came from. Let me tell you that
you're bringing us back from the brink. I can feel it.
Yeah, well, all we need now is more fucking people contributing to our Patreon account, and we'll be sweet.
I'm actually going to start putting some effort into the running sheet. I'm going to start doing that now.
That'd be fucking nice. Yeah, if you could actually get off your ass and do something, that'd be great.
Yep. All right,
okay,
what's
Scott,
up? next?
Well, I'm not really sure what's up, Scott. It's, it says here that it's a, there's a human interest story.
Yes, I compiled this recently. Human interest story.
All right. What's it about?
Cork Island. That's what it's about.
Cork. You're covering the backgammon, right?
You betcha, Daniel. You know your stuff.
Hmm.
Why the little? Yeah. Why the little?
Yeah. Well, you see, Scott, it's just that, like the World Report. Fuck it. No, forget it. Forget it.
Yeah, I will. I will forget it, and I will proceed with this human interest story. Listeners, with the fourth Cork Open Backgammon Tournament now behind us, fans are already looking ahead to the 2019 event, which, like the one just passed, will also be held at O'Donovan's Hotel Clonakilty.
Yeah, they do a great shepherd's pie in Clonakilty, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And the Guinness, let me tell you, is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little tip to simpletons out there. If you ever decide to drop into the Clonakilty, tell them Daniel sent you and sends his best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Make sure you do that, simpletons. The field for the tournament, which will take place from February 28th to March 3rd, has already reached at least 60. And I know it's early days, Daniel, but who do you like?
Not willing to comment just yet, big guy, but I first planned to take in the 26th Irish Open Backgammon Tournament on November 2nd, which, correct me if I'm wrong, big fella, will be held at the Royal Marine Hotel in Dunlochlin. A fine venue, that one. They do a wonderful hearty Irish stew, which comes with soda bread, of course.
Yeah.
And they offer you a fine assortment of Club Rock shandies, some of them second to none.
I wish to discuss the Club Rock shandy very shortly, but how do you intend to take in that tournament in November? What do you mean by take in?
Well, travel there, Scott, and stay there and watch it.
Very good. So, Daniel, I want to ask you about the nature of this Irish spirit, the Club Rock shandy.
Yeah, well, it's. Do you want me to tell you what it's made up of?
Exactly.
Okay, all right. It's three parts vodka, two parts vermouth, one part Guinness, two parts Worcestershire sauce, and three parts West Coast cooler, Scott. So, a fucking nice drop, if I don't
that
say so.
Sounds familiar. Is that possibly a spin-off of some other kind of spirit?
It's kind of a weaker, more legal version of Poynton, Scott.
More legal, you say? Then tell us about this Poynton, please, which is an Irish classic, I believe.
Well, it's a fine, subtle blend. It's if it's produced properly, Scott, that's all I want to say about it.
Mm-hmm. If so, then why has it indeed been banned since 1661, which I believe is over 100 years?
Yeah, that's well over 100 years. I personally don't agree with the banning of the drink, Scott. And I have been lobbying Irish MPs for the past 10 years to get this overturned.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, in the meantime, the closest we can get to Poynton is offering, let's just say, privately produced Poynton, Scott.
Of course, the main ingredients are fermented potato and or fermented barley. But I want to ask about the potency of the drink. What's the percentage or the volume?
78%, Scott. So 70. if you're not used to it, it can cause brain damage. But Scott, we're digressing, and to get back on track to the original question, who I like for the tournament at Cork.
Yeah,
it's a little bit early to say, but by judging what we just saw at the recent event, there are a few standouts. Of course, there's Laurie O'Brien would have to be the front runner at this particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be hard to see anyone to deprive him of his three-peat next year, with injury the only thing potentially standing in his way. He will certainly need to get his persistent hip complaint under control if he's going to go for that three-peat, Scott.
Agreed. And might I add, few can manipulate a baffle box like O'Brien.
Well, within the rules of the game, of course. Yes, no one.
Of course, of course. Who else then?
Well, there's, of course, Daniel O'Connor, who just fell short of O'Brien and will be determined to go further. He's not without a chance, Scott, but needs to brush up on his banana split, which I know, is a risky ploy, as you know, Scott. But until he can break at least a point on his own home board, thus leaving the two blots, I'm not sure his conservative game plan can stand up to the heat of the match, especially against a pro like O'Brien.
Yeah.
Who do you like for the who do you like for the event?
Well, thank you for asking. Personally, besides those two, I do like the look of O'Dwyer, to be quite frank with you.
O'Dwyer?
Yeah.
Fucking he's a show pony, Scott. And absolutely, he goes to water under pressure. And until he can learn to consolidate a Barabino movement, thus anchoring his opponent's 5-point move, he will not stand a snowflake's chance in hell, Scott, like O'Brien, or even O'Connor for that matter. So tell me, fuck that, who else do you like?
All right, who else? It's hard not to like the youngster of the circuit, O'Hara.
No.
What's your issue then with O'Hara?
Doesn't know when to resort to the beaver, Scott, thus severely compromising his own ability to redouble and retain possession of the cube. Fucking everyone knows. So look, he's too headstrong, and although his early exit in the recent event at Cork could be the impetus for him to do better this November and indeed next year, that's not enough. At the very least, he's in good hands under the tutelage of Coach O. McNally. But Scott, let me just say, this was an interesting report. Again, a thinly veiled effort to squeeze another sports report into the episode under the guise of human interest. But I tell you what, because it was so entertaining, I'm going to pardon you on this one.
Thank you. I just want to give you a little tidbit of interesting information. Like I'm into coincidences, and you mentioned, I think, four special moves.
Four stock standard moves, yep.
Yeah, each of them beginning with B, and you mentioned them in alphabetical order. How about that?
Wow, that's amazing. That's like someone's really broken out the thesaurus on this one, Scott.
It's almost like
you could argue that someone has shown a complete lack of imagination, couldn't you, Scott?
You could almost argue that, I do believe, Daniel. Almost.
All right. Okay, Scott, what's up next is we thought that, listen, the letters are fine and we're going to stick with those. But what we thought we'd do is actually open up the lines to a little bit of talk back on this podcast, Scott.
I love it.
Yeah, you love it, don't you? You absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And so we want to actually hear the voices of people. And I think this is where the Simpleton Podcast editorial team will actually come in handy, as they are now back in the second room of the studio looking to put some calls. I think we've got one coming through now, Scott. And they want to speak to you. So without further ado, go for it.
All right, who we got on the line? Hello, this is Scott.
Yeah, it's Clem from Mafra.
Clem?
Yeah.
Well, what's up, Clem? Mafra, lovely part of WA. How can I help?
No, it's Victoria.
Victoria.
In 1989, we won the Tidy Town Award for the best tidy town. And ever since then, things have gone to shit. There's litter everywhere, Scott. I blame social media.
Are you asking me something?
There's graffiti and texture on the back of toilet doors in the public toilet here.
Yeah.
There's bloody Maccas, rappers everywhere.
Yeah.
It's gone to shit, Scott. What are we going to do about it?
Right. You're asking me what we're going to do about it.
Yeah.
This is what I suggest. China and America are currently involved in the USA, currently involved in a trade war, Clem. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I've heard about that. Old Darcy spoke to me about it at the Bottles Club on Saturday.
Saturday, very good. My solution to this problem, Clem, is trickle-down, trickle-up economics, and this is what I mean by that. The Chinese Ministry of Commerce recently said or announced that it will impose 25% tariff on up to $50 billion worth of U.S. exports. This was in response to a U.S. move, a very similar move to significant tariffs on up to, almost 1,500 Chinese exports, totaling a similar amount of $50 billion, Clem. Trickle up, trickle down economics. What we need is to get in touch with our local MPs. We need cool heads. We need to cool off this trade war, lower the tariffs, trickle up, trickle down economics. You'll see it filter through. And I reckon if we can see that happen within a year or two, you're going to see direct results there in, where are you from again?
Mafra.
Does that make sense?
Social media.
Social media. I reckon you're barking up the wrong tree there, Clem. I reckon you got to focus on this on these tariffs and bringing them down. Cool heads prevailing. That sort of business. Trickle up, trickle down economics. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm going to the council meeting Wednesday night. I'll mention it there.
Very good, very good, Clement.
What'd you say that word? Trickle down, trickle up tariffs. Is that what you said?
Trickle down, trickle up economics.
And social media.
Okay, I didn't mention that, but go for
it. Thanks for your time. Catch you later.
Thank you, Clem. Thank you.
Well handled, Scott. Well handled. You're pretty good at this.
I've never done that, Daniel. I'm not spontaneous. That's hard, doing it spontaneously.
No, you're famously shit ass at being spontaneous, so well done.
Thank you. You and I are used to just reading off the script, and we go to water if there's no script. So that was hard.
Yeah, not really.
No?
Scott, I think there's another call coming through. I think this one is for me. Hello, caller. Are you on the line?
Hello. I want to speak to Daniel.
Gee, I tell you what, you sound familiar.
Good sir.
Speaking.
Good sir.
Who is this?
Now this is Crosby. And now I tell you what, 3 p.m. I like to have my Arvo nap. I haven't been able to do it for 6 months. Blimey. You know,
that's not good.
They're out there with the whippersnippers. They're stirring up the bees and the moths. And every three, I have my Arvo nap from 2 to 4, 3 p.m. Blimey, they whip out the whippersnippers in the Sevens Creek Park, the Lions Park, the nature strips, and I ought to go out there and give them a piece of my mind.
Mrs. Crosby, who is using the whippersnippers?
Council gentlemen. I tell you what, if this keeps up, I'm going to go out there and give them a piece of my mind.
Look, I don't think there's any call for violence, Mrs. Crosby. I think... Have you actually tried writing to Phil Squires?
Phil Squires, I know him. He lives down the road. Do you think I ought to ask them for their credentials first?
Yeah, I think they could be rogue whippersnippers. They could be a gang of rogue whippersnippers that have infiltrated your
room. I can't do my afternoon nap.
Look, I can hear it in your voice, Mrs. Crosby. I can hear it in your voice. You're obviously very angry and very sleep deprived.
Go out there and give them a piece of my mind.
Look, just calm down. What we'll do is I'll put you back to the Simpleton Podcast editorial team, give them your name and address, and we'll give you Phil Squires' contact details, and we'll get you two together to see if we can solve this.
Maddie Squires, you say?
No, Phil Squires. That's Maddie's father.
I can't sleep for more than an hour. They're out.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Crosby. It's been great talking to you.
3 p.m. every day. I can't.
Okay.
Cut
it. Yep, cut her off. What else can I think of?
I can't get... Yep.
Can you fuck off? Thank you.
Daniel, you handled that very well.
Thank you. I think it's really bringing some to the podcast, actually hearing from some of our listenership.
Does that make the listeners' letters redundant?
No, of course it doesn't, Scott. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
We should give ourselves both a hearty pat on the back for the way we dealt with those first calls. And we'll see. We'll see if we get calls in next week. We'll see what happens.
How did they know to call? How did they know to call? Because it's not. We don't do this live.
I'm sure we gave our number out to them, to our listeners, at some point during the journey, Scott.
And, right.
They've obviously just written it down somewhere. They've called in, so good luck to them.
Good luck to them.
But, Scott, it's time for listeners' letters. Dear listeners, we cannot do this podcast without you, so if you want to send correspondence into us and let us know what you are thinking about the world at large, by all means, please do so. And you can do so by simply emailing us at contact@simpletonpodcast.com. Scott, I believe you have the first letter.
Oh, yes. This one is from Yak McKnight, Wanturna, Melbourne.
Right.
I'll,
and what is Yak write?
Yes. Yak writes, I've been thinking lately about cold cases and murderers who ultimately get away with it, never to face justice. Well, guys, I've now had an idea, and I'd like to encourage all simpletons to get in touch with their local representatives and apply pressure for real change. Posthumous justice is now available, meaning that killers who are identified posthumously can still be brought to justice. Guys, we have to urge our MPs to bring a bill before the Parliament now. My proposal is this. If a killer is identified posthumously, the federal government ought to have the power to summons up to 50 citizens and order them to urinate on the grave of the convicted. Either that or clone them and put them to death. Practical solutions, guys. Cheers. What do you make of that, Daniel?
Gee. Well, Yak is very pragmatic, isn't he? That's a very pragmatic solution to some of our crime problems.
Certainly, the it certainly amps up the factor of deterrence, Daniel.
Yeah, it'll cost an absolute fucking fortune, of course, and it's very impractical. But I tell you what, it's pragmatic.
Pragmatic. You've got letter two.
Yeah, this one's from Anonymous. And again, if we could ask people who write in to actually use their real name and not use the pseudonym of Anonymous, it's piss weak and troll-like. But we'll go ahead with this one just this one time.
Yeah.
This is from Anonymous in Wanturna Park in Melbourne, which I'm pretty sure is just a park in Wanturna, Scott. I don't think it's actually a suburb. I think it's just actually what they call the park in Wanturna.
Okay.
And Anonymous writes... Thank you, Anonymous. Scott, you have the third and final letter.
Thank you, Anonymous. This one comes from Thars McRubin. And Thars is from Gordon Court / Ringwood Public Golf Course, Melbourne. Okay. And Thars writes, "Careful, guys. You're descending into toilet humour. And there's only one way to go from there. Flush."
Oh, that is lame. That is really fucking lame.
It's lame, Daniel.
Pathetic effort at humour. And no wonder we resort to toilet humour from time to time when we get shit like that. I tell you what, Thars, don't write back anytime soon. Okay, Scott, it's time to wrap this baby up. Is there anything in the week ahead that Simpletons should be aware of?
Yeah, there is. There is. Now, Simpletons will keenly remember the Euroa Seven Creeks Park fish ladder, which enables fish from the lower level to swim up into the pondage area or down. Now, Molly had recently had a transmitter attached to her fin. Molly is, of course, a Murray cod. And if her swimming trends continue, Daniel, then in about 2.5 days from now, Molly will be the 10th fish to descend the fish ladder.
Right. Well, that's something everyone should sit on the edge of their seats for because, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, keep an eye out for that one, everyone.
What do you see, Daniel?
I can't remember what I said in the rehearsal, Scott. What did I say?
I also can't remember. It was something about Rochester.
Oh, of course. That's right, yes. This Thursday, Rochester is having a hootenanny. So if you want to get down there and have the time of your life, there will be pony rides for both children and adults. And Carl's Risberg will be there to play a few tunes. And so will Haleen Duntley, who, of course, was Miss Rochester in 1984. So get down there, have yourselves a great time at the local hootenanny in Rochester this Thursday. I'll see you there. Scott, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time, Daniel.
Bye.
Goodbye.